Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. My guest this week is Andrew Luna. He is the head of sales at Vetstoria and is actively scaling their U.S. business. He has had 10 years of veterinary industry experience and a passion for culture, technology, and travel. He's lived and worked around the world, and regardless of where life takes him, he's noticed one thing remains constant. Pets and people are fluent in the language of compassion. I love that. Andrew's constant goal is to build and celebrate vibrant communities, empower the selfless people of our profession, and equip our industry with tools and resources to do well, do more, and do right. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Adam, I'm stoked to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. I mean, that line, I got to tell you, you know, it really is a language that's like universal language is the human animal bond and the language of compassion. I love that. So thank you for, you know, sharing that.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I've traveled to 15 different countries in the past few years and I see it everywhere. Doesn't matter where you go, people and pets, they all really, really understand and appreciate compassion. So definitely agree that everybody understands that very fluently.
They really do. They really do. And, you know, today we're going to talk more about the veterinary hospital and the team, about what it means to be productive and productivity in the workspace, because, you know, let's face it, we have a pandemic that's here and some things have been counterproductive. And, you know, we're just going to talk about like some tips and tricks that we can do to kind of make our day-to-day activities a little bit better from both a pet parent's experience as well as from a veterinary hospital. So I guess we should just start by talking about like, what really is like productivity? What does it mean?
Yeah, so productivity, if you really break it down, it's a mix of a few things. It's going to look at inputs, it's going to look at efficiency, and it's going to look at outputs. So if you're really productive, a lot of times people think, oh, I got a bunch of stuff done today. Maybe they were productive, maybe they weren't. Maybe they were really inefficient. They had a ton of people working with them, and then they got that stuff done. That doesn't necessarily mean that they were productive, right? And we're actually seeing this a lot in the hospitals right now where they are slammed, the phones are slammed, they're way, way busier than they were before COVID because of curbside and the increased call volume. So what you can see there is actually a decrease in efficiency and a decrease in productivity. It's happening throughout every practice really that we're speaking with over at Vetstoria.
Yeah. And, you know, I always think of like, I start my day and I've read this in a book that to be productive, you need to have like one mini productive task. First thing right out of bed. And the first thing that I do is I make my bed. And it really does set the tone of actually of how productive your day is going to be. Because if you don't make your bed, it's almost like an inefficiency, essentially, that you're kind of setting tone for like, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later mentality versus let me see it down. Let me get it done now. Let me see this client now. You know, it's an urgent to her. It's important to me. So I think that's how, you know, practices try to adopt that mentality of, you know, being productive that way. What does it mean to be efficient then? Are the two different to be productive and efficient?
They're very closely related, right? So to be efficient, you'd want to make sure that if you're putting in input, right, work, team members, time, whatever it is, that each of those inputs are giving an outcome, right? That we're not wasting time, that we're not trying to complete tasks and never completing them, or that it's taking a longer time to complete those tasks, right? So if we are an inefficient team, then we're likely not going to be a very productive team, right? You can still have outputs, right? You can still book a bunch of appointments. You can still get clients into the clinic, right? But maybe it's requiring more input, more time, more staff, et cetera. So we lose that efficiency. And with that, you'd likely expect to see a decreased productivity as well.
Yeah, let's talk about some examples of that then. So you talked about, you know, maybe too much staffing, for instance, too. Like you think that you need, because we're busy, but does it mean to be, are you productive because you're hiring more? Does that make you a productive team? Like these are like theoretical questions, I guess. And you probably have seen this in your experience, right?
Yeah. So what we're seeing right now, especially, I think a lot of clinics are experiencing this, is that they say they feel much busier than they were pre-COVID, right? So they feel like they're super busy. There's tons going on. but they might not be completing as many appointments, right? Or they might not be seeing as many patients or generating as much revenue as they were pre-COVID, right? So they feel busier, there's more time and resource required, because think of it, right? Let's say that you're seeing curbside. There's a whole new workflow that has to happen to get that appointment into the clinic, to have the PET seen, all of the diagnostics and treatments required, and then finally checking them out. So while there's a lot more input going into it, a lot more time, a lot more resource, a lot more contact points from the staff to the pet owner, the output, right, the productivity is not increasing. So we're actually less efficient right now.
So what are some things that we can do to be more efficient and productive in the workspace?
So I think adopting technology, obviously, right? This is one way that we can definitely improve this. Automation is very helpful. If you were to bundle certain technologies, you can actually see some pretty significant improvements in efficiency, right? Letting technology work for you, work smarter, not harder, et cetera. So this is my number one recommendation. If you are, you know, experiencing these bottlenecks, definitely remove some of those through technology and automation.
Yeah, agreed. I think, you know, the big thing is just that the whole check-in process can be so frustrating, I guess, from a veterinarian's perspective, because we as the vet team, we're, you know, we like to be efficient, we like to move things through, but having that extra step of communication or talking to the pet parents and, you know, they're being socially distant, all those things makes it challenging. So how does communication look to you in terms of workflow and efficiency?
So I think that in the context of a vet clinic, it's challenging to remove communication or pet education, pet owner education from the workflow, right? That has to stay there, absolutely. But there's definitely times or steps in that workflow, in the process, where we're able to reduce some of, for example, call volumes, right? So if we have people who are wanting to book an appointment, you can definitely automate that process through online booking methods to reduce those call volumes. And then you can have more rich conversations with people who are in the clinic.
So getting into the scheduling, this is a universal problem throughout all the hospitals, and I've been in many of them too, and I know, is that, you know, they choose to have like a same day sick emergency or, you know, they reserve certain times throughout the day, you know, in case, you know, we have these emergencies. Do you think that's a good idea to continue to be efficient that way? Does that work? I mean, these are all, again, hypothetical situations. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think that time blocking, so if you're looking at this in terms of a vet clinic or personally, right, if you want to be productive and efficient as a person, maybe look at time blocking. Sounds like you start your day off with, look, I know that I'm going to start my day with making my bed, right? For me, I wake up, make the bed, take the dogs out, make breakfast, and I know exactly when I'm doing this during the day, and the next step throughout the day is all outlined, right? So some clinics are actually utilizing this. They'll say, we're gonna see wellness appointments at this time, we'll see sick appointments here, and we're also gonna maintain a slot during the day to see that squeeze in or that walk in, or maybe the dental procedure is taking a little bit longer than expected. We actually have some time that we can eat into and not have our day completely thrown off. So I definitely think that in terms of maintaining efficiency, letting people catch up, that it does make good sense to schedule or plan for some of those unexpected cases where you need some additional time.
Yeah, and even just scheduling the appointments too, I mean, that takes so much time. I've been, you know, in this field my whole life, I'm telling you, watching receptionists, I was one too, I was a receptionist, and I still do it, you cross training. You're on the phone, it takes a while. Like, what do you prefer, Mrs. Smith, morning, afternoon, or evening? And I can't do this, I have to take the kids to school or whatever reason it is. And then just manually confirming the request too can be somewhat of a challenge. Is there some sort of a suggestion that you would provide?
Well, I'm here representing Vetstoria, so maybe us.
Oh, okay.
There are plenty of different solutions out there. I think a lot of practices are pretty familiar with request an appointment. If you think of online booking in the vet community, that's usually what they think of. They think of the JOT form or the Google form embedded on somebody's website for an appointment request. Or you might think of any other method of requesting appointments, right? But what Vetstoria does that we can offer really, really successfully for practices is real-time online booking. Essentially what we've built is we've built an integration with the patient management software where pet owners are able to book an appointment online in real time based on the availability in the calendar and a ton of rules at the clinic, right? So we all know booking an appointment, it's not as easy as 10 a.m. is available. I want to take that one. right? Maybe we have rules on booking. A common example I like to give is most doctors don't like to see a sick appointment immediately before lunch, right? Because that sick appointment might turn into a 2-hour appointment. They don't get to take their lunch and then they're behind and grumpy all day, right?
Yeah, nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that at all. So very easy for us to say, look, no sick appointments before lunch. Problem solved, we can make sure that's a rule in the booking system. So one solution that practices have been adopting and using very well, especially during COVID, is the real-time online booking. VetStoria does have a really good solution for that. We work with thousands of clinics globally. So that's one way that we consult with practices and help them in terms of increasing staff productivity during these challenging times.
It says 70% of pet parents enjoy or rather prefer to have their appointments scheduled online, you guys. So those listeners out there, our pet parents, as a veterinarian, they're looking to make these appointments, you know, similar to their own human doctors. They usually can do it online now. So it just makes sense in terms of efficiency and productivity for your practice. And then what about like smart triage capabilities and things like that? Are there ways that we can kind of help with the flow in which animals come into the hospital?
Absolutely. So in terms of triage, I'm going to say a really bad taboo word, bloat, right? Nobody likes that word. let's say that a pet owner calls and says, hey, my dog's bloated, right? Immediately everybody thinks this could be GDV, it could be a splenic mass, or who knows, maybe the dog's just fat. Right? But we would like to tell them, hey, this could be an emergency. You need to come in immediately, contact us immediately, et cetera, right? So we are able to capture that type of situation or scenario with real-time online booking. For the practices we're working with, I mean, it's unlimited, right? The triage capabilities, if it's a bloat, if it's a sick pet, if it's a thyroid tech appointment, we always have different scenarios occurring in booking. And we want to make sure that the pet owner is receiving the appropriate availability, the appropriate messaging based on what it is they're trying to come to the clinic for, right? So we expect receptionists to remember, you know, hundreds of different symptoms, signs, keywords, and phrases, and then attached to those specific signs or symptoms, we expect them to know, you know, exactly what they're supposed to tell the pet owner every single time, right? So is every single wellness in every single vet clinic being reminded to please bring in that fresh fecal sample? No, right? Sometimes the receptionists forget. Sometimes it's a 10-minute chatty Cathy phone call, and it just never gets mentioned, right? But if you use automation, if you use technology to book your appointments, we can make sure that the specific messaging, that the specific rules that your receptionists are following in the clinic are followed consistently every single time.
Yeah, I love that. And there are some practices that have the ability to communicate within themselves too. They can have like a team chat basically. It kind of just helps where everybody's aligned and on the same page. So instead of using like your phones and texting and all that stuff, you can actually have notes within practice software systems. Do you find that to be more, of a productive way of communicating?
Oh yeah, that's very productive. I think, I don't know how many clinics are adopting this, but something like Slack or any of the other solutions that have, you know, team communications is very, very helpful for making sure that people understand, you know, where pets or patients are in the clinic. There's also additional technologies that integrate into pet practice management software that help further show those workflows, show where pet owners are, where clients are, et cetera. So there are plenty of technologies available to the practices that they could be using to enhance their productivity right now.
Google Hangouts and Meet, Zoom, Teams. I mean, you mentioned Slack. I mean, the list goes on in terms of what you can kind of do just to help, you know, maintain your day and being productive so it doesn't become a runaway railway of a train wreck sometimes, which can happen. Listen, it happens. But in the veterinary field, we try to do what we can to make sure that we kind of be aligned and, we do our job, a good job at the end of the day. So, that's really helpful. And then we were just talking about communicating with the pet parents too. Are there any recommendations other than a phone, like video conferencing, those kinds of things that we can do?
Yeah, so it really depends on the scenario, right? I'll use the curbside example again, right? Maybe you have a pet owner who's waiting in their car and they're coming in because their dog has a limp, right? We're probably gonna do some x-rays, see if there's anything broken or what the cause of that limp might be. And if they're in the car, it's really challenging to show them those x-rays, right? Maybe you have a tablet, you can take that out to the car and show them, but there's actually more efficient ways that you could be communicating with the pet parents who are waiting out in the car. You could use a phone, you could text for sure, you could get on a call. But what's really valuable is also integrating telemedicine or telehealth, right? So imagine you're waiting in your car, you've dropped off your pet, they're getting their x-rays done. The doctor could jump into a video chat with you, for example, could see you face to face, have a conversation, explain their findings and what they're recommending, and actually show you the x-rays and the findings of that x-ray while you're in the car, while they're in the back of the clinic in the x-ray room. So there's a lot of ways that we could be communicating with the pet owners to make that experience there during their visit much more pleasant.
Yeah, no, I agree. So where can we find more information about you?
Well, if you want to find information about Vetstoria, you can go to www.vetstoria.com. If you want to find more information about me, you can find me on LinkedIn. Again, my name is Andrew Luna. Happy to connect with everybody. I love networking in the space, connecting with other veterinary leaders and thought leaders. Love connecting with everybody. And if you're not really looking to connect with me, you're looking to connect with somebody in my network. I love connecting people together as well.
Well, you're in the right field, let me tell you, because that's the veterinary profession. We love connecting with one another, which is great. You can't leave without doing my 3,000 questions, would you rather, so we can all get to know a little bit more about Andrew Luna from Vetstoria.
I have to do 3,000 questions?
We're going to go through all 3,000, Andrew. Buckle up. All right, would you rather have a snowball or water balloon fight?
Snowball. I live in Denver, so yeah.
Oh wow, it's interesting. Yeah, okay. Would you rather always make the first move or never take initiative?
Oh, first move, 100%.
That's good. That's good initiative. Oh, okay, this is annoying too. These are some annoying ones. Like, would you rather always have a runny nose or a ringing in your ear?
Ooh, I'd say runny nose.
Okay, I know, right? Both are just annoying. Yeah.
Yeah, but then you seem kind of gross to other people. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes. Would you rather have breakfast or lunch every day?
What about brunch?
Oh, I know. Well, that's not the question here, Andrew Luna.
I'd go breakfast.
Breakfast. What's your favorite breakfast food?
Ooh. All right, so if anybody lives in an area where Snooze exists, right? So Snooze is a chain. They've got a few places in Denver, Austin, a few other places. They have some amazing breakfast. They've got I'm giving them a Snooze plug here. That's cool.
There you go.
They've got a breakfast pot pie that's really, really good. I love that.
Well, that sounds good too. Oh, love good breakfast. I love breakfast for dinner too. It's one of my favorites. So good.
Yeah, can't
all go right, Andrew. Final question is Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
And what are you watching on Netflix? Anything good?
So I was I was pessimistic about it. Everybody really seemed to like Schitt's Creek. I couldn't get into it, but my fiance has been watching it and now I'm sucked in. So we're watching that one.
Thank you. I'll let them know. I'm absolutely in love with that show too. It's very, very funny show. It takes a little while to get into. It really is. I agree. It took me like a season to get into it. And then you're like, oh, like getting into like Catherine O'Hara's like vocabulary language. It's so much fun. It's a good show. I'm so glad. Andrew Luna from Vetstoria, thank you so much for being on the Vet Blast podcast.
Thanks so much, guys. Adam, really, really appreciate you having me. It's been great.
My pleasure. It's an honor having you guys. We look forward to, thank you for all you're doing with the veterinary profession, especially during this pandemic. So really helps us all out.
Adam, yes. So before we jump off, I know that you love animal jokes, right? You usually like to tell us a few before you head out. I saw one. I thought you might like it. So what happens to a frog's car when they park the wrong way?
What happens to a frog's?
It gets towed away.
I'm stealing this one. That's a good one. I like that one.
It's pretty cheesy, but you know.
No, like that's what it is. They have to be like that. They have to. That's what makes them so awesome.
I got one more. What's a dog say when he sits on sandpaper?
What does a dog say when he sits on sandpaper?
Rough.
I can't. Yeah. I thought I was bad with mine.
I took that one from my little cousin, so.
Love it. Yeah, they have the best ones, I'm telling you. Yeah, so good. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. I hope you had a little fun, learned a little bit, and we will see you next time on the Vet Blast Podcast. Stay awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay awesome.